I'm sure there are occasions in your life when you have that feeling inside you when you've done something wrong. Sometimes it can be merely a twinge. Sometimes it can be a knot in your stomach. Sometimes it can feel like a weight pressing down upon you because you know you have done something wrong. In the scriptures, there is a word that is used for that. It is conscience. Conscience directs us when we are doing right and when we are doing wrong. We all feel that sense of guilt. You might be driving down the road and you do an inappropriate manoeuvre, which seems right at the time, but having done it, you think to yourself, I shouldn't have done that. That was wrong. You feel guilty about it. There might be things that you have done years ago and you still carry a sense of guilt because of what you've done. Why is it? It's because of your conscience within you. One of the Puritans, a man by the name of John Trapp, once said that conscience is God's spy and man's overseer. We read from Romans chapter 2 about how God has placed within each person a conscience by which we can know that which is right and that which is wrong. It has to be admitted that the conscience is not infallible. Sometimes it leads us to think something is wrong when there's nothing wrong with it at all. And if you were to read, for example, Romans chapter 14, Paul is there talking about grey areas. He says that some people will eat meat quite happily and other people wouldn't touch meat with a barge pole. And the person who can eat meat quite happily eats it with a clear conscience, because he knows he's not doing anything wrong. But those who think you should not eat meat, mainly because that meat has been offered in idol worship, he used to be involved in idol worship, it gives him a bad conscience. He feels it is wrong because that meat has been used in idol worship, so he thinks it's wrong for him to do it. Well, there is nothing wrong, but it's the associations that the man has in his heart as he thinks about what he used to be involved in. So the conscience is something that God has given to us. The word conscience comes from the Greek word synodesis. I might have mispronounced that, which means having joint knowledge. And God is demonstrating through our conscience that he has joint knowledge. If you read Psalm 139, David makes very clear in what he writes there that God knows everything. The unbeliever often thinks, oh, I've done this in secret. No one knows, not even God, because I've done it hidden away in secret. Except God does know, because God sees all. Everything that you have ever done, even that which you have done in private, in secret, with no one else around, God has seen it and God knows. Not only that, God knows your thoughts. Every thought that you have ever had is clear to God. He knows what you have thought. He knows what you are thinking at this very moment. God has known all about you from before you were born. And God even knows the very day, the very hour, the very minute, the very second on which you will die. God knows everything there is to know about you. And this is scary. God has this joint knowledge with us. Paul writes in the chapter that we read earlier, in Romans chapter 2 and verses 14 and 15, for when Gentiles who do not have the law by nature do what the law requires, they are a law to themselves, even though they do not have the law. They show that the work of the law is written on their hearts, while their conscience also bears witness. Their conflicting thoughts accuse or even excuse them. So when the person says, that's a Christian writing, and he's writing about Christians. No, Paul's writing about everyone. Even the Gentiles, the non-Jews, the Gentiles who did not have a revelation from God as the Jews did, do by nature what the law requires because it is written on their hearts and their consciences testify to them when they are doing the right thing and when they are doing the wrong thing. The conscience helps us to know which way we should go. It's not infallible, but when we're thinking, should I do this immoral act or not? And the conscience says, no, you shouldn't. But sometimes we do that anyway. And our conscience then tells us that was wrong. It's sad to see people suffering from a burden of guilt because they have done something wrong recently or even years in the past, and they're carrying this burden upon them. If you have ever read John Bunyan's book, A Pilgrim's Progress, generally reckoned to be the greatest allegory that has ever been written. The second greatest allegory comes quite close to Pilgrim's Progress. Interestingly, it was also written by John Bunyan, The Holy War. But in Pilgrim's Progress, we read about a character whose name is Christian, fleeing the city of destruction with a burden on his back, a burden he cannot get rid of, a burden which is his sin, a burden which weighs down upon him and tells him he is a sinner. And how can he get rid of this? And various people say, do this, do that, do the other. And they are all useless until he is pointed to the cross of Christ. And when he comes to the cross, he looks up at Christ and he feels the burden fall from his back as he trusts in Christ. And the burden bounces down and enters into a sepulchre and there disappears. And he knows peace and joy because the burden has been lifted. His conscience is now clear. For some of us, conscience speaks to us even now and tells us whether we are right with God or not. How is your conscience this morning? What is your conscience telling you about your standing with God? The Lord Jesus, as recorded in the Gospel of John and chapter 8, we have the account of the woman who has been caught in adultery. And you get the impression that the Pharisees were scouring Jerusalem to find someone in such a circumstance. But notice they bring the woman. They don't bring the man. Why haven't they brought the man? But they bring the woman. And they say to Jesus, what should we do with her? The law says we should stone her to death. And the man. But Jesus answers them with this statement. He that is without sin, let him cast the first stone. And slowly they melt away because the consciences of each one tells them that they are sinners, that they deserve such a punishment. Perhaps not because they have done these things outwardly, but inwardly their conscience accuses them and tells them. They are silenced. Their hypocrisy is exposed, and the fact that they too are sinners. The conscience often works in some ways like an alarm clock. Each morning, doubtless when you're having to go to work or you have some activity, you have to be there at a certain time, your alarm goes off and it wakes you up. At least I hope it does. Sometimes people manage, I don't know how, but they manage to sleep through their alarms. My alarm, when it goes on, just keeps going and going and going until I tell it either to snooze or to stop. But if we have an alarm clock like that, that is something like the way in which the conscience works. The conscience awakens, awakens to our sin. The sad thing is, some people, they roll over and they press either snooze or stop, and they do that with their consciences. I don't want to listen to my conscience. I don't want to accept I have done anything wrong. I want to carry on in my sinful practices, so I am going to ignore my conscience. Have you ever done that? Have you ever carried on regardless of what your conscience tells you? Do you think that you can get away with what your conscience is telling you? That you think that in spite of what your conscience says, you can carry on living in a godless manner? There is a consequence to constantly pressing snooze or pressing stop on your conscience. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. Paul speaks about those who, through the insincerity of liars, whose consciences are seared. Consciences seared, meaning they've basically been killed off. Their consciences have been silenced by a constant refusal to listen to the conscience. How often have you done something and you didn't like the fact your conscience accused you and told you that you had done something wrong? It's so easy to think sin is not sin. In fact, sin, in its temptations to us, sin loves to persuade us that sin is not really sin. In our minds, we have drawn a line in the sand and said, beyond that line is sin. But on this side, it's okay. And then sin speaks to us and sin says, no, no, you've drawn the line in the wrong place. It's in fact an inch further over. Ah, so you rub out that line and you draw another line in the sand. And then after a while, sin comes along in spite of conscience telling you, no, that you shouldn't have moved the line. But in your mind, you've moved the line. You've told your conscience, no, it's okay. That line is in the right place now. Sin then comes back again and sin says, no, no, the line shouldn't be there. It should be 2 inches further over. And sin persuades you. Conscience tells you no. You ignore your conscience and you move the line 2 inches. And then a bit later, again ignoring your conscience, sin persuades you to move the line 4 inches and then 8 inches. And then eventually sin tells you, ignore the line completely. Anything goes. You can do whatever your wicked heart chooses. Conscience has been telling you and telling you and telling you, no, that is wrong. But you have learned to ignore your conscience. Your conscience becomes seared. Paul writes in Titus chapter 1 and verse 15, to the pure, all things are pure. But to the defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. But both their minds and their consciences are defiled. The unbelieving find it so easy to justify sinful activity. They find it so easy to ignore God. They find it so easy to blaspheme God. They find it so easy to justify sin. Oh, that's not sin at all. That's perfectly okay. They will find some things they think are wrong and say, oh, that's terrible. That person doing that is terrible. But as Paul says at the beginning of the chapter, therefore you have no excuse, O man, whoever you are who judges, for in passing judgment on another, you condemn yourself. Why? Because you, the judge, practice the very same things. We know, says Paul, that the judgment of God rightly falls on those who do such things. Do you suppose, O man, you who judge those who do such things and yet do them yourself, that you will escape the judgment of God? Well, how foolish if you say that is wrong, that person deserves judgment, but then you do the same thing or you think the same thing, then you are condemning yourself. They should be condemned. So should I, because I've done the same thing in thought or word or deed. So beware of ignoring your conscience. Your conscience can become seared or hardened. Repeatedly ignoring your conscience will grow dull. It's like when the alarm goes off and it goes on and on and on and you don't even turn it off because you've rolled over and gone back to sleep and you've ignored your conscience, you've ignored your alarm, and so you do the same with your conscience. The warnings of conscience just become background noise and no longer do you listen to it until eventually the battery runs out, the alarm goes off, and you are quite content because it's not bothering you anymore. And you can see around the world wicked people whose consciences have become so seared that they are able to ignore what their conscience is telling them. Whatever you do, do not silence your conscience. Pay attention to what your conscience is telling you. For some people, for unbelievers, if they are alert to their consciences, it can drive them to despair. But the purpose of conscience is not to drive us to despair. The purpose of conscience is to wake us up to the fact that we are sinners. The purpose of conscience is to make us aware that we are not right with God. The purpose of conscience is to show us that we are not righteous, that on the day of judgment we will be condemned by God. It is to make us aware that there is no hope for us in ourselves. No matter how hard we might try to do what we think is right, we can never be good enough. However much we might think, oh, I am good enough, but conscience tells you, you are not good enough. Conscience is something that we should be very grateful to God for, because it helps us to keep on the narrow path, to walk in the way that God directs. For the believer, it's vital to keep us from going over the wall, one side or the other, from that narrow way that Christ has put us on from the moment we believed, to walk the narrow path. And we will be called narrow. People use that as something unpleasant to describe us. Because, oh, you won't do this, you won't do that. Well, that's ungodly. We will only do that which we consider to be godly. And our conscience helps direct us. We read the scriptures. We read the word of God. The message that God has lovingly given to us to direct us in our paths. But conscience for the unbeliever, there is a danger for the unbeliever that it can drive them to despair if they do not obey the gospel. The gospel, being God's gift to us, is not a curse. The gospel is a blessing. The conscience is a blessing. The conscience accuses us of sin. The conscience directs us to the fact that we are sinners. The conscience directs us to the fact that we cannot save ourselves. The conscience directs us to the fact we cannot atone for our own sin. The conscience directs us to the fact that our only hope of salvation is to be found outside of ourselves. It is not to be found in anything that we do or think or say. Conscience directs us to the fact that our only hope is to be found in a crucified Saviour who shed his blood on the cross to pay the penalty for our sins. That is where hope lies. That is where conscience directs us, to the cross of Christ. So that when we turn from our sins, when we repent and we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, the suffering Saviour who paid the penalty for our sin and who rose from the dead triumphant over the grave, having conquered sin and death and hell, offers to all who repent and believe full and free forgiveness. So if your conscience is troubling you today, whatever you do, do not suppress it. Listen to what your conscience tells you. Let it lead you to the cross of Christ. And there Jesus will give you full and free forgiveness and peace with God. That is the cure for an accusing conscience. The Lord Jesus said, Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." You carry a burden of sin? You can lose that burden of sin by coming to the cross and believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is clear evidence of how much you are loved by God, that God sent his own Son into the world for you and for your salvation. That most famous verse in the whole of the Bible, John chapter 3 and verse 16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." That full and free forgiveness is offered, a loving offer to you. And all you have to do is repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the moment you do that, you will lose that accusing conscience. You will have peace with God, and you will rejoice in the forgiveness of your sins. And may each one of us know that full and free forgiveness in our hearts this morning.